HMC, or visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A lawsuit filed by the father of a school shooting victim in South Florida. Andrew Pollack says, in part, his lawsuit aims to expose a man he calls a coward. The now former resource officer at the school in Parkland, Scott Peterson.
We're in it to bring out the incompetence so we could prevent this happening at another school.
Pollack's wrongful death lawsuit filed yesterday. His lawyer says of the officer's failure to enter the building and confront the gunman that day.
They're supposed to have incredible aptitude and, most of all, courage.
He and Pollack spoke on NBC's Today show. Pollack says he doesn't want money but wants to expose Peterson as a coward who could have stopped the massacre that killed 17, including his 18-year-old daughter, Meadow. Many high school students today will walk out of their classrooms in support of the Second Amendment. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Look, about what happened in your apartment with the broken pipe. I just wanted to apologize for ruining all your stuff, and I hope this can all just be some me under the bridge.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning. We've got a sunny day today. Finally, warm weather, high of 87, a low tonight of 59. Tomorrow, high again, 88, and slight chance of thunderstorms. Low of 64 Thursday night, high again, 87 on Friday, but more storms, and Saturday we get some more sun again, and a high of 76.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help, a show about volunteerism and helping others and getting engaged in your community and in the world. And we talk to different people that are involved in nonprofit work and volunteering. And I've, for the past 8 years, volunteered with Room to Read, which is a global literacy project organization. And so I love to talk to all kinds of people, especially people who love books, read books, write books. And so today we're very happy to welcome Nikki Stern, an author. Welcome, Nikki.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So happy to have you, and we're going to talk about, I'm about a third of the way through your recent book, which is called The Former Assassin, mm-hmm. and I'm a huge Jason Bourne fan, so it's right up my alley, especially with a female protagonist. I love that. So why don't we talk a little bit about, this is your third book, correct?
It is.
So why don't we talk about this book and why you wrote it, and this is your... fiction book, but your other two books were nonfiction, correct?
So yeah, actually, the story behind it will dovetail right into the whole volunteerism thing, so it works perfectly.
Okay, let's do it.
The first two books that I wrote were nonfiction, and they were based entirely on, partially, and on my experiences after 9/11. My husband was killed on 9/11, and I became part of a group. I didn't volunteer for this group, but I was part of this group called the 9/11 Families.
Okay.
And I began to see the way in which we were treated, and there were some unusual aspects to just the way people reacted to 9/11 and the people they thought carried moral authority and the people they thought didn't, and what people were desperate for, and they weren't the things that I expected. So I wrote a book called Because I Say So, Moral Authority's Dangerous Appeal. And at the time, it was just after I'd finished a couple of years as executive director of Families of September 11th, which was one of the larger of, 18 groups, I think there were at one point, representing various interests or fallout from the 9/11. And then I wrote another book, which was more personal, but it had a lot of research, called Hope in Small Doses. And that was a blueprint for coming through uncertainty, and in fact prescribed a hope based on uncertainty. And that one is still selling. I wrote it in 2012, re-released it in 2015 with a couple of updates. And that's in the that's online, but it's also in the September 11th Museum, where I just did a book signing, which was a nice kind of a circular thing. And then that one really has a lot of different chapters about dealing with tragedy and dealing with old age and dealing with uncertainty. And I added a subtitle called Reasonable Happiness in Unreasonable Times. And I think that's why it's selling pretty well this year.
Yeah, well, everybody wants happiness, right?
And especially in unreasonable times, which we are in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then this book, and then I said, I hate the news. I hate the news. I hate everything that's been happening the last 2 years. So
right.
I want to write fiction.
Okay.
And I started in my methodical way by writing short stories and learning my mistakes and practicing. And then I wrote this book about, I was inspired by actually looking out over a beautiful scene and wondering what it would be like, what would ruin it. And I thought, well, a gun to the head would ruin it.
Oh, my gosh.
And that started me.
Wow. Well, it starts with an idea, right? And then it just takes off.
Yeah.
Good for you. Did you always want to be an author or know you'd be an author? Or how did this come about?
No, I mean, I went all the way through graduate school and then went into music, which my parents were like, okay, but you're on your own. You can do that. We can't help you with that. But good for you. And I was a songwriter, and I wrote lyrics and music and some cabaret, some theater things, some pop tunes. I did a couple of albums, and I did this for 14 years, and I just didn't make any money.
Yeah.
So then I went into public relations. And this is like my fourth career.
Good for you.
Yeah. The bottom line is, and then I had the executive director, the volunteer, and not volunteer, but nonprofit phase, and then now the author phase, which is relentlessly volunteer because, but it's also self-gratifying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously you've got some creative genes in there with the music and the writing and all that. So,
Mom was an artist.
Oh, nice. Yeah. No, but it's a tough go. I mean, really, it is a tough go. So good for you for sticking to it. And with three books, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Especially both, two different, completely different genres.
Yep. Yep. So. And I've got one in the docs, a series about a small town, yoga loving, poker playing sheriff with one unusual trait. She's not human. But I don't want to give anything else away.
Well, that's like the cool thing now, right? Is being like
cross-genre.
Yeah, extraterrestrial and whatever. And I just finished reading The Left Hand of Darkness by Ursula Le Guin. Have you ever read that?
I have heard of it,
It's pretty cool. So my sister was a huge science fiction fan growing up, but I wasn't into it as much. But then, she just passed away last year, and so she was in the news. And so I thought, well, maybe I should check this out. It's because I'm always trying to broaden my horizon. So I think
I was never a science fiction fan. I wrote a mystery. It's just that I wrote a mystery whose central character was, she's not actually extraterrestrial. I don't even do that.
Okay.
She's AI. She's built.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm so interested in what artificial, quotes, intelligence actually means,
right.
and how self-awareness develops. And Sam Tate, Samantha Tate, is very self-aware. Mm-hmm. And she is, because the creations are involved in law enforcement, they're created to support law mm-hmm. enforcement agencies, especially in underserved communities. Mm. They're equipped with something called artificial intuition. And that I read a lot about that. That's a
really?
Very radical idea that entities can be built who can, depends on how you feel about entities, think in the subconscious, instinctive, intuitive, I should say,
wow.
way that humans do.
Wow, that, I mean, because to me, I'm always thinking intuition is what inherently makes us so human,
mm-hmm.
and to have that farmed out, like, or that freaks me out.
Well, it's not, yeah, well, first of all, my friend who works in artificial intelligence
okay.
told me it's like, he actually said it's never going to happen.
Okay. Never say never.
I never say never, right. And this is fantasy, science fiction, mystery, hybrid, whatever. But what I have come to love about some, the best science fiction, is that it's an excuse to mine philosophical questions about what it means to exist, you know, who gets treated how, and I love that.
No, I think that's great. I think any kind of writing or anything that prompts you to think differently, look at things differently, I mean, I think all that is amazing. And that's why I think yeah. reading is so important. All
oh.
kinds of genres, all kinds of authors, all kinds of, you know, nonfiction and fiction. I think people just need to read more.
Reading is, yeah, I'm really sad that people aren't reading more, which is why I'm so interested in your nonprofit. One of the things that maybe a lot of people don't know is that a couple of the really famous, very, very mainstream authors are aggressively promoting literacy. James Patterson has a very powerful literacy group, and in fact, he created a whole children's series. I can't remember what it's called. I know mm-hmm. one of the characters is Max, of non-human or slightly freakish children who are not treated well by the adults or the law enforcement agencies but are making their own way in the world. And he uses that to try to draw in young readers. David
okay.
Baldacci, who's a thriller writer I really enjoy, is very active in literacy movement. So privately, some of the more successful authors are taking this on, which I'm really happy to learn.
Yeah, no, that's good, and they should. And there's, I think, in our little corner of New Jersey, though, I think there's also been a resurgence of book festivals. So the Morristown Book Festival, I think, is going to be the fifth year in October. Maplewood started one.
Get into that.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's great. Well, definitely. So, yeah, they're in the planning stages now. So if you have not been, you should definitely check that out. And you know, Princeton is always active with their.
Yeah, that one I'm going to. October 4th is the Independent, which I am right now.
Okay.
Independent book writers are introduced to the community.
Oh, really? So, October 4th?
Yeah, I
okay.
think it's October 4th. It's the same. It's around, all of these book fairs are around the first week of October, so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think Morristown just bumped theirs to the second week mm-hmm. because there was Bottle Hill Day and other things going on that conflicted with it, but it's still, October seems to be like, well, in the, for Room to Read, the nonprofit I volunteer for, they call it Booktober.
Aww.
So I think a lot of people, just for some reason, October is, you know, I think September, you've got everyone going back to school and getting situated with the new routine, and in October you're ready to dive in, and
yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. So what do you read for pleasure? If you're obviously a writer, but what do you like to read?
Well, I keep going back to the same authors. I like to read fiction.
Okay.
There's very little nonfiction that I read. Again, it's a kind of it's temporary and it's escapist. Allergies. I don't close my mind to any kind of book. I mean, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks was amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I read
and
that,
then there
too.
Was a biography of Grant I read, too, and another biography of John Adams. But in general, I really like fiction. And that could be anyone from Alice Munro to Harlan Coben, and now I'm trying to start to read more science fiction writers.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
what was I going to say? The different genres are great, and I always love just browsing the bookstore to see what will pop up. Or my local library did a blind date with a book where they covered them all with brown paper and then kind of put a little teaser on there, and you can, and then you check that one out just to see, you know, it might be not something you pick, but then, you know, you get a teaser and then you open it and get surprised. So that was kind of cool.
One of the things that that frustrates me that I run into all the time, most of my friends are, at least online and social media, are writers or interested in books or all of that. But I do meet a lot of people who either, way too many people, who I read maybe one book a year, and they speak with pride about not, I don't have time for reading, or I don't know why anyone, you know, I live in the real world. And I'm trying to put together arguments rather than turning my back on people like that about what they can learn from reading about other experiences other than the ones they're going through.
Yeah, and I think we're just saturated these days with content. So because everyone's on there scrolling on their phone and reading articles, and everyone's got a blog and a post and a this and a that, and so I just try and stay away from that because I'd rather just be in a quiet chair somewhere with an actual hard copy book and just focusing on that, and it helps you decompress and not be bombarded by the barrage of anxiety ridden, you know, content out there today.
Yeah, I mean, I think books as escapism are great, and I think that's one way to promote them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, another thing I'm telling people is people say knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is also empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is also awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is also communication. And I think the people that say, I don't have time to read, or I'm busy reading all of these reports for work, and you know, all I want to do is crack open a beer and watch a ball game. And I know that's a stereotype, but I do hear variations of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that yes, reading takes a little work, to get into the habit, unless you were raised, as I was, in which case not reading would feel bad in the same way that not exercising feels bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to do it. It feels better to do it.
Exercise for the mind.
Yeah, but it also it makes you better human being. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Well, this is fascinating, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Nikki Stern.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help, a show about volunteerism and helping others. And also, we're talking about literacy today and how important that is. And we have Nikki Stern, who is an author. She's written three books, two nonfiction books, one, Because I Say So, number two, Hope in Small Doses, and her recent book, The Former Assassin. So I'm really curious as to, everyone always thinks like, oh, I'll just write a book, and wouldn't it be great to write a book, and it's a lot harder than it sounds, isn't it?
Oh my God. Does everybody think they can write a book?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
I read somewhere, I think it was last year, that there were more new writers than there were new adult readers, which I thought was terrifying because someone said to me, well, you know, you're really lucky if you sell 500 books. And, of course, I'm going, don't 10, 15,000. I got a 20,000, 50,000, you know. And
I've, have a goal.
Thinking, I have big goals like
Good.
That. And most people just don't even break out of anywhere. The other thing is that we because there's so much content in the world, and the amount of content has taken precedence over the quality of the content.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times the books come out and they're not necessarily thought through.
Mm-hmm.
One of the funny things is I had a micro publisher for the first two books, and then I self-published the third book, which was and still is in some circles a dirty word.
Oh, no.
And the problem is that because that is open-ended, you can have a crummy book and put it out, and you can have a good book and put it out. And the only gratifying thing is that I've, A, had really good reviews, and I've had people surprised that it was well-written. But I think what's happening now is that a true independent author will be part of a lot of support groups
mm-hmm.
that advise you on things like hiring a professional editor, or two, hiring a copy editor separate from your other editor, you know, investing. And so if you want to write a book, sure, write a book. If you want to put it out, sure, put it out. If you want to be an author, you have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I think people just love the glamour of it, and with all the well, and I know, right? Like, the glamour.
It's so not glamorous.
I know. Well, you know, you never always sees this overnight success story, right? But
yeah.
But I think even the nice thing about today is that it is easier to self-publish and mm-hmm. do things like that so people can try it. But, yeah, that's what – with most things, people realize there's actual work involved. It doesn't
yeah.
just appear. But the nice thing, too, is that with all these online communities that you can find writers and editors and people that – you can find people that you can gel with and vibe with and – bounce
yeah.
off of. And
I belong to three. I belong to this huge group called Women Binders. And it's a play on something George Bush, Romney said when he was running for president, that if he needed women, he would have somebody assemble binders.
Oh.
And he would find, actually, if he needed qualified people, and he'd find them, you know, binders of women, or binders of this or that.
Oh, I get it.
And so they form this group called Women Binders.
Oh, I
women,
love it.
Writers, binders of women writers. That's what it is. Now uh-huh. we just call it binders.
Uh-huh.
And there are 20 subgroups. There are 28,000 people in the main group.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the little groups. And I'm in aspiring novelist, short stories, and marketing, binders marketing, because you really have to know a lot about marketing. And I know something from being in PR, but the landscape is changing. There's a lot of technology. There are do's and don'ts, and so that's been helpful. And then there's another group called Women Writers, mm-hmm. Women Books.
Mm-hmm.
And you were asking me earlier what kinds of things I read, and I'm trying to now read these other women books. Some of them I won't like, some of them I will, but mm-hmm. I want to support their
yeah.
work, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. We got to have the support network, and I think there's a lot of different writers' workshops. I think even if you don't aspire to be a writer that sells a million books at Costco or whatever. I think if you're interested in writing, and I'm always telling people, and you said this yourself, you've had four careers, it's great to be a lifelong learner. And always trying new things, doing new things. And even if you don't, you know, if you're not going to be the next James Patterson or whatever, but if you just are interested in connecting with women or writing or exploring your creativity, why not join a group?
Oh, yeah. And as I'm learning later in life, it's also great to be a teacher. One of the things that just surprised me, I guess because it's I have three books out, but I was invited to be a volunteer judge through this group, Women Writers, for people who have never written a novel or any book before and are putting out their very first book in still in its raw stages. And I thought, well, I'm only at this level. But that level with the reviews and all of that was considered a level where they were very excited about having me as a judge. I'm also speaking at a woman's study group, a high school. I guess they do that in high school now, up in Bedminton, about becoming a writer and how I became a writer and what kind of work is involved. I've been talking to book clubs, which I actively sought that.
Uh-huh.
And I've only done four so far. I would do a million. I love book clubs. I love talking to book clubs.
Right.
I love, you know, explaining my process, which isn't like anybody else's process, but, you know, just talking about all of that. So that all of that has been really fun, and that impetus to kind of share what I know or share what I think I can do, that actually blossomed, if you will, after 9/11, because we didn't have any children. And so when he was killed, it was kind of like, okay, the family was cut in half. We went from two to one. We didn't even have a pet. So it was a real, and I was in Plainsboro, New Jersey. So it wasn't like, I worked in New York, but I felt very unattached. And so groups of families bonded together, and they were doing one thing. And my reaction was actually to go to non-family groups. I was working for an architecture firm in PR and marketing. And so I went to work with the organizations that wanted to try to help rebuild Lower Manhattan, because it's where my husband worked.
Yeah.
And spent a lot of time working, you know, with those groups, and I helped facilitate a lot of meetings. I signed up as a volunteer facilitator for something called Listening to the City, which collected input from people about what they wanted to see at Ground Zero. And then I signed up with an organization which unfortunately crashed and burned a couple of years ago, but it was called America Speaks.
Okay.
And I ended up facilitating conversations that had nothing to do with 9/11. The local municipalities needed to get input from citizens on this and that. You know, and I was the whole thing sitting at the table, and I'd be the monitor, and oh my gosh, it was so interesting.
Wow. So who did they invite to speak? Just anybody was?
Well, this would be, for instance, America Speaks. I initially made a speech.
Okay.
But their nitty-gritty work was in bringing together different parties that, for instance, something analogous would be the group that wanted to put a pipeline through Pennington and all of that, if that group had a representative and then there were two citizens who were opposed and try to see if there was some consensus or at least gather everybody's input. And I would just be the the uninvolved party that was helping people to talk to each other.
Oh, okay. So just facilitating the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. I mean, to have, you know, discourse, calm discourse is key, right?
I'm a huge believer. I know that common, and I know how hard it is today, and I don't know how I would do anymore, but I'm such a believer in the potential for common ground that I started working in small ways for an organization called Search for Common Ground, which is an NGO which has grown enormously in the last 8 or 9 years. It works around the world on areas of high conflict resolution and doesn't try to so much resolve differences, because they'll always exist, is to transcend differences. Mm-hmm. And so they help create dialogue in all sorts of high conflict areas, whether it's Gaza or Congo, or a lot of high conflict areas.
Wow. And what's it called again?
Search for Common Ground.
Okay. And where is it based? Is it based?
It's based in both in Washington, D.C. and Belgium, Brussels. And in fact, when I was the executive director of Families of September 11, we worked with a group called Americans for Democracy. They were students. And we worked to help sponsor a series of town hall meetings between Muslim American community members and other community members to have everybody air their issues.
Yeah, I think so much of it comes from just a misunderstanding, you know.
Oh, yeah.
From, and so if you just take a little bit of time to understand. Yeah, it was funny how you said that you people find you to talk or, you know, or to judge and things like that. I was last weekend or 2 weekends ago, I got invited to help judge a volunteer contest for, it was called MIST, Muslim. It was Muslim students doing all kinds of volunteer work, and they did science projects, and it's a huge, they have different chapters in around the country. Mm-hmm. And they found me to ask me to volunteer to judge the volunteer portion. So I was just very honored and touched. If you're doing something that you care about, whether it be volunteering or writing or whatever, people find you. If you just allow it to come to you, people find you to tap into your expertise. It's really cool how it works.
Yeah. And I think when you're, there are a lot of things going on the ground that we don't see because there's so much noise overhead. Mm-hmm. And I find it challenging to remember this. I don't actually watch the news anymore. I read a couple of newspapers in the morning, but I won't watch network or cable news because it's too loud.
Yeah.
And it thrives on hype.
Mm-hmm.
And the hype promotes fear mostly.
Yeah.
And fear is the great driver for anger and for misunderstanding. It's probably the primary driver for anger and misunderstanding is fear. Fear mm-hmm. of loss of this or that, mm-hmm. the status or
whatever
all the things are. And on the ground, when you're just working with school kids or getting people to do things that they think are fun, the fear kind of takes a back seat or goes mm-hmm. away altogether. And we don't see that, how many efforts are being made worldwide, because they don't get the kind of publicity that the noise does.
Yeah, because they're facilitating actual human connection, interaction,
yes.
not just some box on the wall or, screaming through your radio in your car, and then you get,
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly.
So, but it takes some effort to understand something different and what the history of everything
uh-huh.
is. You know, I was helping my son study for his social studies quiz and all the backstory with Jerusalem and everything. And I mean, they're teaching it in school, but I was like, you know, most adults couldn't follow this, you know, pattern because it's so confusing and this one conquers that one and that one and the people, you know, it's crazy to keep up with. But if you invest the time to understand the different reasons and the sides and it makes it human, then it touches a different nerve.
Yeah, and also I think I walk into almost every situation saying, what are people afraid of?
Oh.
Because, I mean, when you look at, whether you look at the Israel reaction to the Palestinians, what are they afraid of? Why? And you understand, but you don't understand because the people that they're fighting against weren't born then. So what are they still afraid of is what you want to say. Or whether you try to talk to someone about a gun regulation who goes, Second Amendment, and you're like, well, wait, what are you afraid of? And if you can get beyond that, and mm-hmm. it works on almost every level and in almost every situation.
Yeah, that you have to invest the time. And the one organization that I was recently introduced to in the last couple of years is called greatdecisions.org. And it's a foreign policy magazine and DVD. I've seen at the library, and it really goes into depth in worldly issues, mm-hmm. and gives all the different angles and the history, and has all these amazing authors and speakers from the different think tanks and within the government. It's amazing. So that has really opened my eyes to different. It's hard to get through because it's a lot of material, and the DVD kind of brings all that home. But it's just a really good eye-opening intro into foreign policy.
Yeah.
It's called greatdecisions.org.
I haven't had too many facilitating opportunities lately, which makes me very sad. But after the election in 2016, a group of women in my development, all kind of the same age, all somewhat like-minded, but we decided to meet together once a month to try to figure out what we could do. And the one thing I think we, for better or for worse, that we've all settled on is increasing the number of people who vote. I mean, if more people voted and the outcome was still not something I really liked, I would have to live with that. But the salient points of both the New Jersey election and the 2016 presidential election is that half the people, approximately, who could have voted didn't. And some of that may have been voter suppression, and that absolutely is worth looking at. But there are a lot of people who aren't registered, and even more, there are people who are registered who just don't bother. New Jersey has a terrible record recently of people turning out, especially in primaries. I mean, mm-hmm. abysmal, embarrassing. Mm-hmm. This is a country with this is a state with a lot of income and a lot of education, so it's sort of unconscionable. So I'm beginning some involvement with the League of Women Voters.
Good.
Because it's an old organization, it's been around forever.
Yeah.
And I would love, it feels like there's a generation in there I'm not sure we can reach between 25 and 40 years old, but under that age, and maybe with the Parkland students being so vociferous about registering to vote and voting, you know, maybe we can get people to understand the value of voting.
Yeah, I think there's a movement, which is good. I think with all this political dialogue and unrest, people are more engaged. Mm-hmm. I think they really are. So I think, and we don't want to knock the millennials. I think there's hope for them to get them to vote. But you're right. The high schoolers have definitely stepped up because of, you know, all the issues, the things that have been happening. But I think there's a lot of movement between with the marches and the Girl Scouts are stepping up. They're doing a whole thing. There's all kinds of small groups mobilizing to get people to vote. Because that's how we keep our democracy and that's how we keep our freedom. And people need to realize that because it can slip away.
Yeah, this generation is very cool on many, many levels. I mean, you're talking about reading and getting information. Read Teen Vogue.
Really?
Vogue.
Oh my gosh.
Has some of the most sophisticated articles about certain issues.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Good.
Really interesting.
Good. Well, what would your advice be to people to get involved with voting or the community?
Okay. Well, first of all, you're going to have, it's actually the same as what happens when I run into people who, I mean, I'm at a book signing and they actually say to me, "I don't really read." I mean, it's like,
why are you here?
Why are you here? What do you, you know, why are you buying this for a friend? Thanks. But you're going to run into the same thing when you try to get people to vote. You're going to run into some people who say that you have an agenda, and you might, but you know, we'll put that aside for a minute. You're going to run into people that say, I can't make a difference. And you have a couple of ways to go there. You can try to explain them what aggregate means and tell them that sometimes one vote makes a difference because it's one more vote that pushes something over the line.
Mm-hmm.
And you can push the line that, you know, that we can't possibly expect our system of government to work for us if we're not going to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even fair, you know?
Right. Right, and just doing something is better than doing nothing, right?
Yeah.
Just do something.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember I didn't want to get involved in politics or pay attention because I just felt like there were too many opposing sides, too many arguments. I felt like I didn't know Because I always like to see both sides, and I felt like I didn't have the time to research all the angles of both sides. And then as I've gotten older, I realized, you know, I've got a little more experience, I've seen a few more things, and going back to intuition, what feels right for you? What, you know, you've got your own internal compass. What you can tell the difference between right and wrong and morality. What feels right, and then that's what you go after.
I mean, people do vote their gut, and sometimes their gut doesn't match their pocketbook, which is why a book like What's the Matter with Kansas ever came onto existence, which is about how people of Kansas in a series of examined elections appear to always vote against their self-interest. And people do vote against their self-interest, but unfortunately, most of the time, that's fear. So candidate A might actually have a better plan for putting your husband back to work, but candidate B said that someone's coming to get you if there's no wall, and that is more important to you. So I think it's good to vote in intuitively, but it's also good to kind of be informed.
Be informed.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you have to weigh it. But I'm going back to just getting people to just be involved,
mm-hmm.
civic engagement,
mm-hmm.
Any kind of engagement.
Yeah, there was a great quote because I follow the Girl Scouts, and it said they're starting this new with, is it Dr. Jill Biden, Joe Biden's wife?
Yeah,
she's
Jill.
A very big advocate for community college and kids and all kinds of stuff. But it said the Girl Scouts are doing this thing, and it says, change the world like a girl from city council to Congress.
Yeah.
So basically, just start anywhere. You can start small, start local.
Do start local, because that's going to impact you
mm-hmm.
immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And don't, you know, you're not married to, I think there's enough flexibility so that if locally maybe the party candidate isn't the same one you would vote for nationally, you can work around that.
Mm-hmm.
But you should never believe that you can't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no purpose in being around if you believe that. And we're not going to, it's a small planet and a lot of people, and we're not going to be able to go hide in caves. So, you know, you might as well reach out. It actually feels good. I mean, it feels great. So
I know, and that's what I say about volunteering as well. You don't realize how much it lifts you up beyond measure
uh-huh.
just to become engaged and,
yeah.
you know, find something that you care about. Find something that interests you. Find something you want to learn more about. And then it introduces you to new people and,
uh-huh.
and sparks new ideas. And it's very invigorating.
Yep.
Yeah, and both people are just sitting there scrolling on their phone. I'm like, oh, I just, it's maddening to me, maddening.
Yeah, I don't know why more people haven't tripped and fallen. But, yeah, scrolling. The bites that are being delivered to you on your phone are filtered.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not getting... You know, you're not really getting the right information.
And you're missing opportunities.
And you're wasting opportunities,
yeah.
you know.
No, I agree. I think it's just, something's got to change. And hopefully, I mean, there's all this noise out there to put your phone down, pick up a book, take a walk, look around. And people are just too, I guess they're, I don't know.
There are so many courses I would love to get into grade school. One of them is a course on critical thinking, which teaches you how to, it's literally like muscle strengthening,
yes.
how to parse something coming at you quickly and decide, you know, whether you have to research it more, whether it seems true, you have some comparisons, you have some basic questions you can ask about this, does this make sense? The other one is something that a New York Times reporter called information literacy,
oh.
and that's where you learn how to process information and shove the stuff that's blah, 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 blah.
Right, the noise. Get rid of the noise yeah.
away. And instead of allowing it to defeat you so that you don't take in anything.
Right, right. That's amazing. All right, well, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll be back with Nikki Stern.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues, From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help, and we're talking today with Nikki Stern, who is an author, and we're going to talk about her most recent book, The Former Assassin. And I think it's funny because my sister-in-law is named Susan Smith. She's the protagonist in the book, or Suzanne Smith, or yeah.
Susan Smith is the fake name.
Yeah. But still, it's funny. I thought, I was like, oh. Yeah. And I went from Johnson to Smith when I got married, so it's okay. Like, yeah. But anyway, so she's... do you want to talk a little bit about Susan Smith?
Yeah.
And
Suzanne Foster is her real name. She starts out her life, she's middle-aged, resolutely middle-aged, which is unusual. And she has spent 25 of her 50-something years as a professional assassin. Unwilling, but there you have it. And she starts out as a... growing up in Haight-Ashbury, the monumentally neglected daughter of two people who were also trying to reinvent themselves. So her mother changed her name from Betty to Lizette. And so when she left home, Suzanne changed her name to Susan and went as Susan Smith and was trying to turn her life around, but then made a mistake and got in the radar, inside the scope, so to speak, of a criminal entrepreneur. And now she wanted, 25 years later, she wants to retire from working for him, and he wants her dead because he thinks that she betrayed him, which indeed she did. And that comes to light later in the book. But meanwhile, she has to get out of an immediate situation, which is how to avoid getting killed. and then, even after she thinks she's free of him, it turns out she's not. Mm. And the book jumps. There's some San Francisco in the back, some New York, Wales, London. There's a little scene in what is now Mumbai, which used to be called Bombay, and in the south of ends up in the south of France. Actually, it ends up back in Wales, and it kind of goes over a 5-year period, but with pieces from decades earlier. So it's...
Yeah, there's a lot of flashback, you've got the different mindsets. It flips from the...
Right. The first third of the book is all Suzanne, and the second third is mostly Suzanne and Victor. And then one of Victor's sons. And then in the third, final part of the book, we... have chapters and the voices of a lot of different people.
Okay, cool.
It's just a thing I did. I don't know whether it's allowed.
Of course it's allowed. I like that because you get in the minds of different people. It gives you more perspective. Yeah. And, you know, because they, you know, you see them from the third party, and they you judge them this way or that way, and then you get into their mind, and you're like, oh, well, now I know why they're acting like that, or where they're coming from. I mean, I think it's a good perspective.
Yeah. You can have too many perspectives. Well, I mean, I learned that one of I think an earlier attempt before I did this, I had 6 different points of view, and that's usually like, whoa, a little too many.
Yeah.
But yeah, rules are made to be broken as long as people can follow it. Yeah. And I know that they have been, because I've had a wonderful opportunity to appear in front of, so far, 3 book clubs.
Uh-huh.
So I made this offer. Most people get the e-book, and it's cheap. It's $1.49
wow.
on Amazon, and $1.49 on Barnes & Noble, and Kobo, and all these other Google Play, whatever you do. The print book is $14. Sometimes it goes a little bit lower, but a lot of people like print.
I do.
It's the coolest cover.
Yes.
But also, if you're in a book club and you buy 10, you get it for, I think it's $11 a book. Mm. Plus, you get me, Skype, or if it's New Jersey, I'm there, and we talk for half an hour.
Is it if they order it through your website that way they can get that deal? Or
yeah, they just have to. Yeah, I've been putting a lot of stuff on Facebook, but if they just contact me through my website and say I have a book club and I'd be interested in doing this, boom, I'll set it up.
And it's NikkiStern.com, and it's
NikkiStern.com.
Yep.
No, nothing in between Nikki and Stern. I just found another website that almost is like that, but I got the name first. So.
Okay, good for you. Nice. Well, and you're on Facebook, right? You said that.
I'm on
right?
Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram.
So you'll travel.
Actually, my dog's on Instagram. With her.
Well, so you'll go to somebody if somebody wants to do the book club and they want to read the book and invite you to either Skype with them or visit mm-hmm. them with the book club. You can talk to them about.
I Skyped in Fort Myers. I Skyped in Raleigh, North Carolina. I flew down to Miami because it was winter, and I thought, okay.
Why not? Eh?
Why not? I'm traveling to northern New Jersey.
Okay. Well, so you mentioned that all these different countries, Wales and San Francisco, different places. Mm-hmm. So did you have to travel all these places to research for your writing?
I'd already been to the particular, I don't know if I'd been to the, yeah, I guess I had been to that town in Wales.
Okay.
And seen the bay, Biscayne Bay, not Biscayne Bay, Bristol Bay. And I've been to London, and I've been to Nice, and I lived in New York, and I've been, I have not been to Mumbai, but I knew enough about it to describe it. And also I was describing it in the 80s, and I wouldn't have been in Mumbai in the 80s anyway.
And where did you do your research? Did you do some extensive research?
Oh, yeah. It's my favorite part of writing is to do the research.
I think that's what people don't realize is you really have to, you know, buckle down. And
Here are two little clues. The first clue is Google Maps. If you can't get somewhere, I mean, it really is good to get somewhere. There's a woman writing about beekeeping in Arizona, and she goes to Arizona, and she works with a beekeeper for a year or something. That's great. But if you can't get somewhere, use Google Maps, and I mean use it. I walked down streets in New Orleans for another book that I'm working on that I've had to set aside because I had a scene where somebody pulled somebody into a driveway. And I thought, oh, my God, I don't know if there's a driveway. And I'd been to New Orleans a bunch of times, but I wasn't sure if that section of the French Quarter on that particular small street off Bourbon Street, there was a driveway.
Oh.
And there was.
Okay.
There was a little green door, and I zoomed right in. Sorry, whoever lives there. And, saw that it isn't always locked. And that sounds intrusive, but, you know, you're not creating the situation. You're just taking advantage
of it. Yeah, no, that's amazing.
So,
wow.
And the book I'm working on now where I had a body wash up, I went on a little place near St. Michael's out of the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland. Again, I've been there. But I zoomed in using Google Maps to make sure that there was some sand there that the body could wash up.
So you're kind of getting into this macabre genre now with all the assassin and the bodies. And
Well, it's always going to be kind of a mystery.
It's intriguing, right?
Yeah. Even if it's sci-fi, it'll be a mystery.
Yeah.
And in fact, the next, I'm writing a series which is classic mystery procedural except with a sci-fi element. So that still needs all the same kind of research.
Yeah.
The other thing is ask the question directly. And of course, if somebody's reading everything we write, because I had to know, I had to learn a lot about guns. And I had to learn a lot about guns through the decades. You know,
right.
What would she have used in 1977 versus 2011 versus whatever?
Yeah, because the technology changes in guns just like everything else. Yeah, my mom, one of her bucket list things was to be able to shoot a gun. So I think she and my aunt went and shot guns in Los Angeles or something. So she checked that one off.
I grew up shooting. I mean, riflery was the only thing I was good at this multi-sport camp with all sorts of privileged girls that rode horses and played tennis. And I couldn't do that. I was such a klutz. But I was really good at riflery. So I was actually following the... believe it or not, the NRA Junior Marksman Program at the time, and getting bars and moving from prone position to kneeling position. Also, my uncle, who was weirdly enough a conscientious objector and a hunter, we did skeet shooting and shot, you know.
Oh, so that's where all that comes from for the book.
I know what it feels like.
Yeah. Well, that's important, right?
Yeah.
You can convey that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Well, yeah. I mean, that's a whole different take on things. Yeah. Well, we only got a couple minutes left. So any other parting words to aspiring writers out there, or definitely go to Nikki's website and check out The Former Assassin and invite her to your book club. If you've got a book club, it'd be great to have a real live author visit you or Skype with you on the book.
Oh, it totally would. I mean, we have so much fun and we always go over. And other than that, please do read. I mean, I hope you read my book, but read something.
The statistics are alarming. I think it said 70% of adults never read a book after they leave college or something. It's out of control.
Yeah, it is. And it's really not painful. You'll find something that you like, I promise you.
Yeah, and I didn't grow up being a huge reader, but I'm such a doer, and I'm so hyper that if I sit down to read, sometimes I fall asleep. So I mean, I do make time to read. Well, because it's just hard. But one guy told me, he said, you know what? I have a book by my nightstand, and I try and read every night. And sometimes I get two pages in, and I'm asleep. And sometimes I get two chapters in, but I just make an effort every night because, you know, we have different energy days, and you're tired. But I mean, and a really good book will keep you up till 3 or 4 in the morning.
Oh, and here's a cool thing. The audiobook is coming out in about 10 days.
Really?
So if you're that busy, then you'll be able to get the audiobook, which I'll price really reasonably, and you can listen to it. It's not me. It's not me reciting it. I will do it the next time. But this time I hired this fabulous woman out of Seattle. She's so great. So, you know, you can listen to it.
While you're working out, while you're walking. Mm-hmm. Then you can do your reading and your exercising.
Driving.
Driving,
commuting.
Too. Okay, well, that's exciting news.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll look for that. And thank you, Nikki. I think we learned so much today about voting and reading and writing and following your passion. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As students who support gun rights are staging walkouts from their classrooms at hundreds of high schools across the nation today, the founder of Stand for the Second, high schooler from New Mexico Will Riley, says he became concerned about how the mainstream media was covering walkouts staged by students who support more gun control.
What was really disturbing to me is that I saw around the country the media was portraying our generation as an anti-gun generation, which when I look at my fellow students and when I look at the students across the country, it's just simply not true.
That's Riley speaking in an interview with Good Guys with Guns. The flagship program of the Boy Scouts of America, changing its name from Boy Scouts to Scouts BSA, effective February of next year, when it starts allowing...
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Since 9/11, and our response is to come up with a strategy that's not working in Iraq and Syria and to cut our budget. This is really nuts.
The undocumented immigrant who admits that he killed a woman on a San Francisco pier is pleading not guilty to murder and weapons charges. Francisco Sanchez said in the television interview that the gun accidentally went off. This is U.S.